Toyota's president weighs a visit to Congress.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good President's Day to you. I'm Bill Radke. Toyota said today it still has not decided whether its president will appear before the U.S. Congress. Republican House member Daryl Issa called on the president, Akio Toyoda, to testify next week to the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Toyota faces a lot of fallout from its recent recalls. Part of it shows up in the stock price, with shares down 20% in the last couple of weeks. Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us some people will see that as a buying opportunity.
Investors have made money before buying stock when companies are in trouble. Johnson & Johnson during the Tylenol crisis, or Merck with the Vioxx drama. Gary Schatzky is a financial advisor in New York, and he says the difference is those problems were single products.
In this case, Toyota is the name that's being tarred across virtually all of their lines. We don't know the magnitude either of the lawsuit losses, the losses to remediate the problem, and almost more importantly, the losses to their reputation.
Still, Schatzky says Toyota's a pretty good company. It managed to make a profit during one of the worst car markets ever, and its stock could have fallen more.
Certainly, if people are continuing to buy Toyotas and the stock is not getting hammered in the short run, it's a positive indication for the reputation of the company. But it's all short run.
In the long run, he says, Toyota's share price will depend on how well the company manages the damage control and whether drivers are still willing to buy their cars. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
European finance ministers meet today in Brussels. They're being pushed for details of a plan to rescue Greece from its pressing debt. World stocks are a muddle today, with European markets 0.5% higher. British Airways up 4% as it moves closer to teaming with American Airlines. They would combine operations out of London's Heathrow and New York's JFK. Asian stocks were 0.5% lower today. On Friday, the Dow lost 45 points, closed at 10,099. Today, Wall Street will be dark for the President's Day holiday. The hunger relief group Feeding America says 37 million people came to that group for food last year. Across the country, a lot of food banks can't keep up with demand. But there's one soup kitchen in Washington, D.C. that has found a way to expand. And reporter Alexis Kenyon has our story.
A musician plucks a harp in the blue-lit basement cafeteria of Western Presbyterian Church. Volunteers for Miriam's Kitchen serve ginger ale in plastic champagne glasses, mostly to men who are homeless or poor. Chef John Murphy is about to read the menu for tonight's meal, which is anything but your stereotypical soup kitchen slop.
I'm extremely excited to have all of you guys here. All right, today's menu is a venison pot pie. The crust is a rosemary and cheddar crust. We also have a sweet potato puree that was sourced from the White House garden. That's garnished with a little...
The man behind the menu's creation is head chef Steve Bott. He arrived at Miriam's in 2001. That's when things changed for the better, says volunteer Vince Coretti.
Steve came in here with this whole new philosophy. Quality went from all this junky stuff to real fresh milk, fresh vegetables, fresh eggs. That's why I've been here 8 years.
The healthy food also attracted Michelle Obama to pay them a visit last July, and the donations followed.
The publicity that was associated with her visit to Miriam's Kitchen was amazing.
That's Miriam's executive director, Scott Schengelberg. He says donations went up 33% to almost $2 million last year. Still, Schengelberg doesn't want to overspend. 50% of food is donated. But for the other half, volunteers seek out deals with grocery stores. Just recently, the soup kitchen struck a deal with a local Costco for free produce that has cut Miriam's food expenses in half. Robert Pennington is eating dinner with a few other men. He says he's been looking forward to this meal for weeks.
Miriam's Kitchen, in my opinion, is the best free food in the country. I appreciate it, and I thank God this place is here.
Miriam's is open for breakfast and now for dinner 5 days a week. In Washington, I'm Alexis Kenyon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term goals. 1-888-VANGUARD. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
The parade of new clothing designs, known as Fashion Week, is underway in New York. And this year, the event aims to go carbon neutral. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Jennifer Collins reports on Fashion Week's embrace of the carbon offset.
Carbon offsets work like this. You pay for someone to cut back their carbon emissions to make up for your own. Fashion Week is snipping away at its carbon footprint by paying dairy farms in Idaho to capture a particularly unfashionable byproduct, methane.
They use that methane for energy.
Ed Klein is with Tetra Pak, the company paying about $20,000 for Fashion Week's offsets.
And because this project wouldn't have taken place without additional funding, that means that we are having a real impact on climate change.
But Renee Morin says, not so fast. She's with the consulting company Clear Carbon. Morin says these offsets take the focus away from all the carbon emitted from the tents and lights and thumping runway music, not to mention the air travel it takes to get the models there. And she says they may prevent Fashion Week from
hopefully also addressing down the line how to make it more energy efficient,
which Morin hopes will become the new item in vogue. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Also underway in New York, the American International Toy Fair, that's the toy industry's big trade show, Hasbro is showing off its new Scrabble Flash Cubes. They display their letters digitally, and when you fit them together, the cubes decide whether it's a word or it isn't. So where's the bluffing? Where's the cheating? This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.